You. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. How does that work for you? As part of the Grace Course, we've been looking at overcoming fear and anxiety. But before this, as Harry says, we've been looking a lot about knowing who we are in Christ. That we're wanted, that we're loved, that we're blessed, that we have a new name. We've been looking at believing the truth and not the lies that so often we tell ourselves. And we've been looking at declaring truth over our lives. But what is the truth? Pontius Pilate asked that of Jesus, what is the truth? Well, the promises of God in his word. We have plenty of promises in our readings this morning. I chose the first one, which I do urge you to look up yourselves. It's Psalm 145. But just looking at the verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. That's us. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. But then more specifically in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And there's more. There's more. But with anxiety, the battlefield is so often the case with the enemy, is in our minds. It's all the what ifs. We're at a crossroads in our life. What happens next? Difficult things are happening either to ourselves or those we love. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's not in our control. We like to be in control. One of the reasons for fear is often that we can't control a situation. What do we do? Well, I'm sure we'll all identify with this, that we make assumptions and we usually assume the worst, which I'm told is a peculiar trait of the human mind. We become focused on negativity, focused on defeat and despair. It's a downward spiral. We become victims and we suffer the negative consequences of anxiety and stress. And I'm sure we've all been there. If it's persistent anxiety, the very real physical symptoms are nasty. And if it's an anxiety condition, then anyone who's been in that situation will know what that is like. It is debilitating. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. And that is really an understatement of what it's like. N.T. Wright says, do you know what the most frequent command in the Bible turns out to be? What instruction, what order is given again and again by God, by angels, by prophets, by Jesus and apostles? What do you think? Is it be good? Is it be holy, for I am holy? Or is it negatively, don't sin, or don't be immoral? No, the most frequent command in the Bible is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Jesus often said, don't be afraid. He didn't add anything to this statement. He knows that we get afraid. So what do we do about it? We can know who we are in Christ. We can know we're blessed. We can know we're provided for. But it's in our heads. It's not in our hearts. Gerard Kelly writes this. He says, identify someone in your own experience who has, to your knowledge, experienced the joy and fulfillment of connecting with God's purposes in their lives. Take time out to ask them how they got there. I have no doubt they will speak of high moments of certainty and strength. Almost certainly, They will tell a story in which these high points of connection stretch across the years like pylons across a vast and open plain. But in between the pylons, they will tell you of the weeks and months and sometimes years of heavy weather. Desert times are as certain in the purposes of God as nightfall in the turning of the world. Don't fear such times. Walk through them with the God who walks at your side at 3 miles an hour. So we have to make a choice. It doesn't just happen. We can either live our lives in a negative way, which brings fear. We can say, "Thank you, Father, that you are the Lord my God, who takes hold of my right hand and says to me, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" Those are words from Scripture. They're words that we can speak over our lives. Jenny Morgan's written a book, Let the Healing Begin, and in that she tells a very helpful story that I think a lot of us will identify with as to what went on in her mind once she was given some devastating news and how she coped with it. She says, "About 10 years ago, I had some symptoms like angina and saw a cardiologist. He told me I had a heart murmur and needed to have an angiogram procedure. He explained I could have a diseased valve and might need an operation. And then quite unintentionally and unemotionally told me that I could have a heart attack during the operation and die. He then casually went on to say that I could even have a heart attack while undergoing the angiogram. He might not have said it in such a cruel way, but that's how it sounded to me. Without any real facts to help me, I drove home as if I'd just received a death sentence. In my mind, I was already dead and buried. My reaction was one of sadness for my family grieving my death. My sorrow lasted a couple of weeks while I dissected the fear. I came to the conclusion that I couldn't be responsible for my family's feelings if I died." And that's actually quite a key point. Some of the times we have anxieties because we're taking responsibility for is something we cannot have responsibility for. "And I needed to have the procedure done to find out the truth of my condition." So she'd reasoned that. She then said this, "I also digested the following verse from Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." That's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. She then did more. She says, "I didn't just read and meditate on this verse, but I dwelt on it. I tasted it. I ate it. It became part of me. I dissected each part and emphasized it word by word. It became my lifeline as I chose to live it out. I can honestly say it fed me, just as Jesus said we were to do with God's word." After the angiogram procedure, I ended up not having to have an operation and was given some medication. All my initial fears turned out to be unfounded, saved again. She says, "Fear can consume us so much that we can't think straight. It can hold us in its grip. But if we dissect it, then it loses its power. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him, the Holy Spirit, we call Abba, Father." It's Romans 8:15. So we see that we're not alone. Having received that spirit of sonship, male or female, We received it when we became a Christian. We belong to our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I will be with you always. And he meant it. He wasn't lying. He is the truth. And he tells the truth. Now, in the Grace Course, we've been doing something called stronghold busting, where we will speak words of truth over our lives. For 40 days, they say it takes to start to make a difference in our minds, because our minds are intent on this negativity, and the truth of the word informs our spirits, which informs our minds. It's a spiritual thing before it's a physical, mental attitude. We inform our spirits, we feed our spirits. The word of God feeds our spirits. Our spirits feeds our minds, our wills, our emotions with God's word, God's truth, God's positivity, and not what we think. We think all sorts of things. So Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this morning I'm going to read, it's a short meditation, but it's about God's promise to you of his presence and provision. And that's taken from Alone with Jesus by a man named Adam Hauge. And then I'm going to read a prayer, which is declaring our trust in God's word to renew our minds and know his peace. And that's taken from Kynan Bridges' 90 Days of Powerful Prayer. If anyone wants copies of them afterwards, I have some here. So just listen to this and receive God's word of truth into your life. Hear him speaking to you now. The roads of life wind and twist, and to where they lead you do not know. But if you follow my road, you know that it will end in peace. Though turmoil, fears, and doubts may rise up, do not fear, my little one, for I am with you. When you cannot see because of the darkness, I will be your eyes. During the hardest moments of life, I will carry you. But know that sometimes the hardest moments come just before the next season of life. It is darkest before the break of dawn, and every storm reaches its peak before it dies. When you sit in darkness, I will be a light to you. And when you've reached a crossroad in life, know that I will be on the other side, waiting to relieve you. I go before you to prepare the way. I stand behind you to guide you with my hand. Then I am with you to pick you up when you fall. So do not fear, my little one. It is all part of the plan. First the darkness shall come, then the morning star will rise. Until then, all I require of you is to listen carefully to my voice. Do not follow your own heart, for it will deceive you. At the beginning of every season, there is a crossroad. Either you can choose your own path, or you can choose mine. If you truly desire to follow me, then listen to my voice. Though the thunder may crash and wind may howl, you will hear me even if I whisper. For I do not whisper from the distance, but in your ear, because I am alongside you and with you. And now a prayer. You can join with me in your hearts with this prayer. It becomes a declaration of God's truth over our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your everlasting goodness towards me. Your word declares, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I declare that I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and I have become brand new. I am no longer controlled or manipulated by my past sins, failures, iniquities, or experiences, but I have been made clean by the atoning blood of Christ Jesus. By faith, I possess the mind of Christ. I submit my thought life to the Word of God and declare that I think and reason like Jesus. I command any and all mind-binding spirits to leave me now in Jesus' name. My heart is receptive to your truth, and your word renews my mind. The more I think on godly things, the more I am changed into the image and character of Jesus Christ. I declare that the life of Almighty God is made manifest in and through me daily. I declare that the peace of God that passes all understanding rules my heart and mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
It's a bit strange, this next bit.